Resistance is futile in the quest for new superconducting technology. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the number of job openings fell by more than expected, according to official data yesterday. Help wanted postings were down by 600,000 in February, following a drop the month before. That still leaves nearly 10 million jobs looking for workers to fill those jobs, well above pre-pandemic levels. Friday brings the official unemployment number for March. We're all monitoring to see how the Federal Reserve's high interest rate medicine is working. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has an update.
So far, strong job creation and low unemployment have kept the post-pandemic economy humming, says Eric Friedman at U.S. Bank.
One of the key tenets of the economic resiliency has been strength in the jobs market and also in real wages.
Job growth has been so strong in part because we're still building back from a deep hollowing out early in the pandemic.
We're still 3 million jobs below the pre-pandemic trend.
That's economist Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union.
Well over a million are in vital industries, healthcare, education, government. There's another million jobs missing in leisure and hospitality. Americans want to eat out and want to go on trips.
Even as employers post fewer job openings, they're still facing labor shortages, says Jim McCoy at the Manpower Group.
We still have a lot of employers that are struggling to fill mission-critical jobs.
Like registered nurse, software developer, long-haul trucker. McCoy says economic uncertainty is making employers edgy and changing how they hire from a staffing firm like his.
They're going back to a more traditional approach, bringing on contract workers first, then either converting them or letting those contracts expire.
Recently, there's been a wave of layoffs in tech and media. But other than that, most companies aren't trimming their workforces, at least not yet, says Nationwide economist Ben Ayers.
You don't want to actively cut workers because then you're not able to keep up with the demand that you have. But maybe you won't hire as many. Or you know, when someone leaves, maybe you won't hire or replace them right away.
Ayers says businesses are getting more cautious and cost-conscious, trying to protect the bottom line against what might be worse times to come.
Those much higher interest rates, the potential for a recession down the road, starting to impact hiring decisions by many businesses.
Most economists predict a gradual slowdown in job creation rather than a sharp, quick cratering in the job market anytime soon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You ever touch an extension cord and notice it's warm? If not, you'll definitely have noticed that computers have fans to blow off excess heat. Now, this is because things that carry electricity, wires, don't do that perfectly. Some of the electricity turns into what is often wasted heat. If you could make a perfect conductor, you could send electricity anywhere with no loss of power at all. Batteries could go longer. Computers could run faster and cheaper. Now, you can make superconductors now, but only if the system is cold, and I mean cold. But in recent weeks, researchers at the University of Rochester in New York announced a possible way to do superconducting at room temperature. If this pans out, and it would take years to put this to practical use, ambient temperature superconducting would be up there with the light bulb or the wheel. Leading the research team is Ranga Dias, a professor of mechanical engineering and physics at the University of Rochester. Dr. Dias, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Give me the, I don't know, elevator pitch about why you chose to work in this area on a way to deliver superconductivity when you don't have to cool things down to get it to work.
Superconductors is always a very fascinating research direction because of some of these remarkable properties that we can use to advance the technology that we are using today. The impact that we can have for society is enormous. So I thought it was a cool problem to jump into.
Do you think that in your lifetime we will see superconductivity at ambient temperatures in use in the energy grid and in transport, that it'll become part of our lives in your lifetime, or is that still for another generation?
Definitely during my lifetime, I think this will happen because the way the current research is going and then our understanding of these hydrogen-rich materials is working, it's difficult for me to imagine that we will not get there.
A journal had to retract a previous article that came from your team. What do you say to people who are therefore extra skeptical of this new work?
One thing I wanted to point out, that the previous work was retracted based on the data analysis technique that we use and has nothing to do with the data we presented or anything. So what we did was we redid the experiment, reconfirmed it, and we have done this one outside our laboratory. So we did it in Agra National Lab in front of a live audience. Other scientists were witness the superconductor in transition, and then put together another, the manuscript, and then we submit to the Nature Journal. So it's under review now in Nature Journal.
I don't know if you noticed this, but we're in the midst of the 75th anniversary of the invention of the transistor. That was an invention that also changed the world. So, here you are trying to move forward in this other area that potentially revolutionizes a lot in the way that the semiconductor revolution did.
I'd say this is, in the same level of a paradigm shift. You can really go from semiconducting industry to superconducting industry. This really set the stage to, revolutionize how electricity is transferred. And that has a major impact on how we can transmit and store energy. And, anything that we use in semiconductors, can be replaced with this superconducting wires or nano ribbon. It may take time for people to see it and feel it, but I'm sure it will happen in coming decades.
Ranga Dias is a professor of mechanical engineering and physics at the University of Rochester in New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Also note, the current approach requires a really rare element, so that's another constraint. And no superconductor story would be complete without mentioning that the technology could make super-fast, efficient trains that float above the rails. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.